Wonderful job, Mr. Chuck. Always love to hear you sing, but that granddaughter just outshowed you a little bit. And wasn't that great? What a blessing. What a blessing. Absolutely. We are just so blessed. I tell you, thank you, friends. That choir and that orchestra just sounded fantastic. And I appreciate you all singing so very, very much. It's good to hear. That's one of the definitive markers about a Baptist, isn't it, Brother Keith? We are known for our singing. And boy, you showed up today to sing and praise the Lord. But now we come to the time where we open up God's Word. And I invite you to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. That's where we're going to study this morning as we talk about putting the honey in the honeymoon. And we're going to have a lot of fun this morning. A wife went to the police station with her next door neighbor to report that her husband was missing. The policeman asked for a description, Brother Ryan. She said he's 45 years old, he's 6 foot tall, he's 3 inches, he's got blue eyes, he's got blonde hair, he has an athletic build, he weighs about 185 pounds, he is soft-spoken, and he's good to the children. The next-door neighbor spoke up. She protested. Excuse me? Your husband's 5'3", chubby, bald, has a big mouth, and is mean to your kids. The wife replied, yeah, but who wants him back anyway? Oh, man. We are talking about marriage this morning, and we're in the middle. I mean, we're just really beginning our study on this is us, what the Bible says about marriage and family. And today, I just want to ask you, today I want to ask you to listen for you. Don't listen for your spouse, don't listen for them that you know, but this morning, listen for you. I don't have any gimmicks this morning, I don't have any tricks. All I'm after and what I'm searching for this morning is, what does God say about marriage, family? What I'm looking for, what I've been on a pursuit all week, is for truth. We don't need gimmicks in our culture. You didn't come for gimmicks, you came for truth. Is that right? The desire of my heart is to see what the Bible says about the husband and wife relationship because of its absolute importance and vital nature. So friends, let's take a look at what the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 33. The Word of God says this: therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in fear of God. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 29. For no one ever hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this is the reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. They shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, Paul says. I love this. Paul says, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and His church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is in the name of Jesus Christ I ask that I'd step out of the way. Your Holy Spirit, speak to our heart. Holy Spirit, we ask you to illuminate these pages in front of us, these words in front of us, to seep into our soul and into our mind and our heart, that we may leave this place changed more in the image of your Son. And that is the desire of our heart. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Ephesians 5, as we just read, is one of the most disliked chapters of the Bible. I'm here to tell you that. We really enjoy what it says about our spouse. We love to read it and say, yeah, that's good for him. That's good for her. When it comes to the believers, though, and I remind you and I give you the context, Paul is writing to the believers. This is written for followers of Jesus Christ. And so it would make sense that if you're not a believer, this will be hard to wrap your mind around. But for us as followers of Jesus Christ, we come to it, and again, that struggle for us may be, that's good for him, that's good for me. But again, I've asked you, I've put the plea out there, let's listen for you this morning. It sounds good that men lay down your lives for your spouse. Women are to submit to your husband. And there lies the great tension, is it not? Whether you have grown up in church or this is the first time you're hearing this scripture, you cannot help, and I admit, to feel that tension in this passage. Ephesians, as I mentioned, was written to those believers. But I want to give you the keys up front to a happy, healthy marriage. Again, no gimmicks. Look at the verses with me in verses 18 through 20. I just want to give you a few things to note right now or off the get-go. We see the context, and I want you just to note a few things. Verse 18, that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. That you'd be filled with the Spirit. The very first thing that you and I must do, if we want to have a happy, healthy marriage, it's to follow Jesus Christ. To trust Him, to be obedient to Him, to allow His Holy Spirit to fill us. And obedience will always prompt and bring praise. Colossians chapter 3, if you're taking notes, just write that in the margin. Colossians 3, verse 16, encourages us and urges us, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in singing and in spiritual psalms and in hymn, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to have the Word of God richly dwell in us, to be filled in that way that we're having the Word overflow in our heart. Be filled with the Spirit. Number two, have a song in your heart. You want to have a happy, healthy marriage, be filled, but have a song in your heart. Speak to one another. Verse 19, in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, in singing, making a melody to the Lord. Have a song in your heart. But number three, look at this next one. Giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's really hard to argue, to have a discussion with someone who's thankful for everything. Be filled with the Spirit. Have a song in your heart. Say thanks for everything. Be grateful. Have a grateful heart. But number four, and where we're going to camp out a little bit today, now that you have your context, is verse 21. Submitting to one another and in fear. And in fear before God. Dear friends, I want to talk to you a little while about this word submission. And this just doesn't apply to the wives. It applies to every single one of us, as we'll see this morning. But first, let us take a look at wives. And then we're going to go to men. And then we're going to see what Christ says about it. And then we're going to tie us all together and put a nice little bow on it. And we're going to walk out of here, hopefully not mad at me, but some of you will have an urge to write me an email before you leave the parking lot. It's Ryan A. now at Flat Creek Baptist. Mark's is filled up. Pastor Mark's email is filled up. So Ryan's here to provide support. So let's talk a little bit just about as we've laid the foundation, the wife's attitude that we find here in our text. The wife's attitude in verse 22 is an act of submission. It means to rank under. It means to place ourselves under authority. It was a picture of an army that gathered itself under the authority of the leadership of the general. Now, let me push pause. I just want everybody to hear me say this. I want to acknowledge this myself. This is not some sick kind of dominance. That's not what this is talking about. That's exactly what the opposite of what this word really means. Jesus ought to be the boss of your home. There is no room for bullying in your home. Submissiveness is about being equals. The Bible nowhere teaches that a woman is inferior to a man. Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is any bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all in Christ Jesus. It sounds a lot like equality to me. Ladies, submission is not a put-down. I wouldn't tell you that that's a put-down. I actually think it's the key to your man's heart because it speaks to honor and respect. You think in this time, in this culture, in this age, women were put down, but God's Word changed the whole paradigm. It changed the whole shift. And now God gives us His written, revealed Word, says, I'm giving you the key to your man's heart. It's submission. Let me ask this. Some of you are here this morning and you're in premarital counseling. You're getting ready to be married. And this is a question I would throw at you in our premarital counseling session. What if submission to your husband is a gauge or a measure of the degree of which you are submitted to Christ? Let me ask you as a believer now. Putting marriage aside, what if submission to Christ is the gauge? Submission to others is the gauge or the measure to the degree of which you are submitted to Christ. And verse 24 speaks to this. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You realize that you are, and this goes both ways, most attractive to your spouse. One of the most attractive things to your spouse is your spirit. It's your spirit is one of the most attractive things about you to your spouse. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Because this is a question I get asked often, and I want to help in this matter. I want you to see how powerful your spirit can be to a man. I'm talking to the wives in the room. I'm talking to the ladies in the room. I want you to see how powerful your spirit can be to a man. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, the Word of God says this, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not in the word, they also may without a word be won by the conversation of the wives." Peter is talking to women. You can change your husband without even speaking. Submission is redemptive. Peter, how can I win my husband to Christ? Well, this verse of Scripture teaches that subjection is a good way to win your husband to Jesus Christ. I don't think the wife is ever going to lead their husband to Christ by browbeating him, by nagging him, by beating him on the head all the time. I don't think it's going to be helpful if you wrap Bible verses around his beer. I don't think that will be helpful. I don't think it's going to help if you stick tracts underneath his pillow. I don't think that will work either. You just have to make up in your mind, in your heart, in your soul that you're going to be the sweetest, you're going to be the lovingest, you're going to be the kindest person that he has ever met because you are reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit will do then. The Holy Spirit of God will just take that submissive spirit that you display in front of Him, and He will beat that boy to death. I've seen many men come to Jesus Christ because their wives were so undeniably in love with Jesus that without speaking a word, they confessed and believed that He is Lord. It was that gentle and quiet spirit that translated into respect and trust that men love. Ladies, I'm letting you in on a little secret. We love, honor, and respect. And when you come with a gentle, quiet spirit, God will begin to move and transform your husband because it's undeniable of your love that you have for God and the trust that you're displaying that you know that God is on your side. Think about in Proverbs chapter 31. If you remember just a few weeks ago, we studied that passage, which I'm sure you do. I'm sure you just write, you know, you light candles around all my sermons and just meditate over them Monday to Thursday, right? Then you take Friday off and prepare yourself for Saturday, and then you get ready on Sunday. I'm sure that's what you do with them. I'm positive, as a matter of fact. But Proverbs 31, a few weeks ago, we talked about the virtuous woman. Are you aware that that virtuous woman was to have such a submissive spirit that it actually indicates that her husband was made an elder because of her lifestyle. You think back to Sarah in the Old Testament. She called her husband Lord, Abraham, right? Father of the faith. Some of you are sitting there thinking right now, well, he's the father of the faith. He's the patriarch. I can kind of see where she would call him Lord in that time frame. But remember this, friends, that Abraham lied twice about Sarah, saying, that's not my wife, that's my sister. And then two times she almost got violated because of this man. But yet Sarah says, you're Lord. The power of a submissive spirit. Now, it's the 21st century. I've already told Kelsey she doesn't have to call me Lord. But, oh, excellent one, we do accept in our house. Oh, mighty one, we accept the Sefco household. One of the most amazing things about my wife is her spirit that transcends, it just illuminates who Jesus Christ is. I know that she's my greatest cheerleader. And ladies, can I tell you, you are the cheerleader in your home for your husband. Have you ever watched football? You ever see those cheerleaders out there? You can be getting absolutely demolished. You pick whatever team, Georgia or Georgia Tech, all right? You battle it out later. You could be absolutely just getting killed, and yet there are those cheerleaders on the sideline. Defense! Defense! Like, you're getting demolished. What are you talking about? They know how to say a positive thing in a negative way. You're getting crushed, but we're here for you. Play defense. Play defense. Play defense. Ladies, can I tell you, if you encourage your spouse, if you uplift him, if you are his greatest cheerleader, he puts on that suit and he just buttons that top button. You say, honey, I've never seen any button like that. Boy, I tell you, he'll wear it around all day. He'll even go to sleep in that thing because you encouraged him. He'll walk around getting a cup of coffee. You like this? That's good, isn't it? What a suit coat I got on. We love to be encouraged. Take the negative. But please, 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 hear what I'm saying. Do not go negative. Do not, ladies, do not go negative. Men, do not go negative. I'm just going to talk to both of us for a second because this is my personal testimony. There are times and seasons in my life where I assume it's an attack, where she says something out of the pure genuineness of her soul, and I say, I'm ready for a battle. And in Proverbs 11 wrecks me. And I want you to note Proverbs 11, verse 27. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. You know, when I pause long enough to seek the good, that my wife isn't trying to hurt me. That if I stop long enough and pause long enough, say, she's coming from a good place, I'll find favor. But if I go at the intent to say, I know you mean evil, guess what I'm going to find? I'm going to find a 2-week fight. I'm going to find evil. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. The devil would love to get you focused on things that are unpleasant. He would absolutely love that. So ladies, you cheer for your man. It's important to us because it says, I believe in you. That you're a good man. That I trust you. Alright. Ladies, you're off the hook now. You take a breather, alright? Ladies are starting to pull out their pens, get ready to take notes. We're men, let's talk about your attitude. Husband's attitude. There is something we need to learn, men, and get it down about our wives. They love security. And what makes them feel secure? Selflessness. Sacrifice. A servant's heart. Notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Look what He does. He sanctifies and cleanses her. This is the picture of Christ and His church. We ought to be concerned as men and leaders in our home about the sanctification of our wives. There was a survey done by Marriage Today asking wives what they found most attractive about their husbands. And I thought it was going to say the gym. I was going to say having a good, you know, you took time about the temple and you just looked good. I thought it was going to be something about you treated her well all the time. It didn't have anything to do with that. It wasn't about expensive jewelry. You know what the survey, the number one thing that came back about wives, what found the most attractive thing about their husband was this: when he does housework. Yeah, that's how I feel. I can't argue with this. This is how it came back. Friends, if I'm under a car, I've been hit. Call 911. Like, I don't like doing stuff outside. I don't like yard work. Some of you worship the Lord when you're just having a great time with God out there. I'm in the flesh, all right? So I'm wrestling with the data that I found over this. That the most attractive thing that I can do for my spouse as a man is housework? Why? Because it shows that I'm selfless. It shows that I'll do anything. It shows that I will help. It shows that I care about her. It shows my love for her. So, can I just encourage you? This is how a man reads this. That I'm one clean house away from the night of my dreams. That's how a man translates that. You're welcome. We're going to grow this church one way or another. Young couples, get busy. Don't buy expensive jewelry. Pick up a broom. Intimacy is the prize of marriage. Why? Because there's trust there. There's an open heart. There's dialogue, that love and concern and sharing with the spiritual aspect, the physical aspect, the emotional aspect. Trust develops and it's there. A wise husband would study the personality of his wife and set her free to be everything that she has been made to be in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. You're to nourish, just as Christ does with His church, nourish and cherish her. Nourish means to feed to maturity. The same word that translates in chapter 6, verse 4. You're to bring them up in the nurture. It's the same word that's translated there. That you're to have such a concern for her spiritual walk in Christ. That you cherish her just as you do your own body. That literally means to keep warm, just as you would keep warm, just as you would clothe yourself, you clothe your wife. Bring your wife into her full potential in God. We are God's partners to help one another be all that we can be for Christ. We will give an account for our witness of how we've done with our spouses. Were you God's partner or are you the enemy's partner? Men, ask your wives these questions. What do we believe that God created you to do? When's the last time we asked our wives about her walk with Christ? When's the last time we sat down and read the Bible together and prayed together? When's the last time we've presently done evangelism, that we've done evangelism together with our children, grandchildren, or beyond? How are you discipling and helping them grow in your walk, in their walk with Christ? Marriage is not about it's not about me. It's about us. Marriage is about us. You before me. Let me give you this last thing and we'll be done. Christ's attitude. We've looked at the wife's attitude. We looked at the husband's attitude. But now we're going to reach out and it's going to apply to every single one of us. Let's look at Christ's attitude. The question I have, everybody's submitting together. I remember Kelsey and I sat through premarital counseling with our pastor. We went through very similar stuff that I'm sharing with you. And my question was, everybody's submitting together. No one's in charge, right? And my friend and my counselor pointed out to me 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, where the Word of God says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." He looked at me and said, "Joshua, there's a divine order here. Christ is the head of every man. God and Christ are one, absolutely. Your needs compel me more than my own." Jesus was equal to God, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ was under the headship of the Heavenly Father. Now watch this. Christ, this verse, is the head of every person, of every man, and the man the head of every woman. Men reflect the nature of the God they choose. Women reflect the nature of the men they choose. Men, when we look at our wives, we see the character of our own hearts. Submission is not just for men and women in the bonds of marriage. It is at the core of who we are in our Christian faith. Christ submitted Himself to the Father. Christ the King became servant. Christ was rich and became poor. Christ was sinless, but yet bore our sins so we can have the righteousness of God. It's not drudgery for the church to subject itself to Christ. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Jesus got nail prints in His hands and put scar on His side because of what He did on the cross for you and I. Listen, friends, it's not drudgery for us to submit to one another because we love one another. That's how the lost world will recognize that we are His, by the love of the brethren. So I want to encourage you with the power of submission in our own lives. Just get ready to write, okay? Take some notes right here. You're going to need these for every believer in the room. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16. The Word of God says that you also submit in such to everyone who works and labors with us, that we are called to submit to one another. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for their souls. They watch out over their souls, talking about spiritual leaders, as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy, but not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the King as supreme. Friends, listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger folks, our student ministry, here you go. Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. How about James chapter 4, verse 7? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How about the portrait of submission when we see Jesus pick up a towel and wash the disciples' feet? How about Philippians chapter 2, where Jesus submitted Himself even to the place of death? He made Himself of no reputation. He was obedient even to the cross. All through our New Testament, we see the core of submission that you and I are called to follow in Jesus Christ. Let's wrap this up this morning. Adam and Eve, you remember in the garden, where they are living in paradise. It was holy matrimony. It was wonderful. There was no sin. And then there came this little serpent. You remember? And the serpent began to talk with Eve. Eve should have waited for God. She should have. She should have spoke and dialogued with her husband. She should have. But she got into this discussion with the enemy. said, has God said if you eat of this fruit of the tree that you will surely die? She began a dialogue with him, which is never a good thing, right? She begins to dialogue with the serpent. Meanwhile, her husband standing right next to her. We know that because when she took a bite of the fruit, what'd she do? She gave it right to him, right? So she does two things. She doesn't wait on God. She doesn't discuss it with her husband. She gets into this dialogue, takes a bite of the fruit, gives it to her husband. Can I just submit to you right here and now that in that moment, Eve showed an independent streak in women. I'll let that sit for a second. Some of you already got your phones out ready to send me an email. I don't care about the waiting on God thing. I'm really not concerned what my husband has to say about this. We're in a conversation. He probably wouldn't know anyway, so we're not in discussion about this. But I'm talking to you, enemy. What about this fruit thing? So, women are mad. Let's talk about men for a second. God spoke to Adam and said, you're to have dominion over every creeping thing on the earth. He spoke that to Adam. You're the leader. Here comes that serpent to speak to his wife. Uh-oh, that doesn't look good. Looks like she's in trouble there. Man's mistake, passivity. Dominion is an aggressive, violent word to stomp out, to get rid of, to take care of. Here is dominion over the enemy. He sees the snake. He knows that he's supposed to take care of that. Yet he stands and he does nothing. He's passive. Speaking to the men in the room right now, because we live in this world, even to today, where we are to lead the charge of our homes, yet we're more interested in Eden Sports Programming Network. We're charged to live out the faith, not take our families on Sundays and Wednesdays so they can hear about it, but that they see the fullness of God lived out in you, Mom, and in you, Dad, not just hear about it. We're called not to be passive. You know what's so amazing about Ephesians chapter 5? It calls for us to slay our sinful desires. That's what's so amazing about it. That it calls us. That's why it raises up in us and we don't like it in Ephesians chapter 5. Because it calls for us to die to ourselves and to love our wives the way Christ loved us. That's why it calls for us to be submissive and to pull back and wait on God and to dialogue with our husbands and then press forward in the cause of Christ. Boy, it just raises up because we have to die to ourselves. Ephesians chapter 5 calls us into a greater intimacy with Jesus Christ. And therefore, we receive the prize in our marriage, intimacy and openness of freedom. I wonder this morning where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Where are you at in your leadership, in your home, when it comes to the idea of being submissive to one another, to being submissive to Christ? What if our submissiveness was the gauge, the measurement of how we are submissive to Jesus Christ? What if, right now, our submissiveness to one another is the gauge or the measurement of how submitted we are to Jesus Christ? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ephesians 5 makes us sensitive to our spouse's needs. It makes us sensitive to others' needs. Marriages will fall apart if we don't follow God's Word. If you're out of love this morning, fall back. Maybe this morning you make a commitment to read the Word, to worship together in church and in your home, to engage with friends in a Sunday school class, to use your gifts to serve together. See, none of this has any impact on you or has any force on you if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The first step every person must take is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, to surrender to Him. And there are some in this room today that are sitting here, and your family is not going to make it unless you get saved. Marriage is not going to survive unless you come to Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm here to tell you, if Jesus Christ can resurrect out of the grave, He can resurrect a dead marriage. But that won't solve all your problems of marriage. But I tell you one thing, it is the first problem that needs to be solved, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, let these words be illuminated in our hearts that we spoke this morning, and our lives be understanding to the Holy Spirit. May we give ourselves to thinking through them and working them out in practice. Lord, what is good? What good is it if we sit in here and we hear these words and we don't put it into practice? God, grant us the willingness and the grace to be obedient to You and Your Son, Jesus Christ. Regardless of what our spouse does, may we be faithful and obedient to You. Even now, so, Father, I pray for those who are in this room that are unbelieving, today they would place their faith in You. As we begin to sing, Father, will You prick their hearts? Would You draw them by the cords of Your love to come forward and to surrender their heart and their mind and their soul to You? Lord, there are some in this room that need to make this place their church home. Give them the boldness to do so. There's some that need to leave their homes and follow steps of obedience in You, and they need to get baptized. They need to take that steps of faith today and find Me here right before the pulpit, Lord. We love You and we praise You and we thank You for the blueprint that You give us to have a healthy, happy marriage. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If the Lord's so moved in your life, You come. You come this morning. Let us join. Rather take next steps of obedience. You come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all.
And you may be seated for just a few minutes here. And we are excited to introduce to you some new potential members. We're going to have to counsel them for a little while. This is Ryan and Kayla Applin. You come and stand right here. Brother Mark, you stand with them as well. And we are so excited. This is our new student pastor and his wife. And the three of them, Malachi's in the children's wing now too. And they are coming to make Flat Creek Baptist Church their church home. Church, you agree with that? You say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Give praise for that. Amen. Amen. There will be initiation this week in the office. We are so excited that you came today. We look forward to gathering back at 5 o'clock.